I want to read a couple of scriptures here from 1 Samuel 22. It says, David therefore departed from there and escaped to the cave of Adullam. So when his brothers and all his father's house heard it, they went down there to him. I want you to get the picture here. A lot of us think that, you know, almost like the priest in the day of Jesus, that somehow a stable wasn't how the Messiah was going to come, and he wasn't going to come from Nazareth. And, you know, they read the scriptures for years, but they couldn't see the scriptures. Amen. Brother Rob was talking about, all morning it's just been this theme, can you hear or are you hearing? Before David got to the cave of Adullam, this was not a great victory time. David had just come from a place where he was afraid of the king, Achish, the king of Gath. He was so afraid that he thought, I don't have any way out here. So he began to pretend that he was insane. He started acting like he was insane. He started drooling on his beard and acting completely insane because he was afraid. And he thought, maybe if they think I'm insane, they'll just throw me out of here. And so David just goes through that undignified, embarrassing situation. And he leaves there and he goes and hides in a cave. Now this cave was not a wonderful place. There was nothing attractive about this cave. And yet when mom and dad and the brothers and the family heard that David had went to the cave of Adullam, it says that they gathered there with him. Now this is the dad and the brothers that thought surely there's nothing about David that God would want. All the brothers marched before Samuel, and God kept saying, not this one, not this one, not this one. And finally Samuel said, is there any others? They said, well, yeah, I mean, David, he's out there with the sheep. What would God want with him? And they brought him in, and God said, that's the one. And David poured a horn of oil over his head and anointed him to be king. Now I want you to get the picture here. David is defeated. David is running from Saul. There's nothing great about David at this point. There's nothing attractive about David. He has no wealth. He has no army. He has absolutely nothing. He just got through acting insane and drooling on his beard, and now he's hiding in a cave, and all of a sudden people begin to come to the cave. Mom and dad and brothers went down to the cave of the little guy that they didn't think God would want anything to do with, and now all of a sudden they are going to a cave because David's there. What was it that brought them there? One thing, they were the family of Saul, so I'm sure Saul wasn't too happy with them either. Or the family of David, and I'm sure Saul wasn't too happy with him. But they remembered a day when that oil was poured over this young man's head. And it ran down over his head onto his body, and they heard the words that he was anointed to be king. They were drawn by something. I want to read another verse. In verse 2 it says, and everyone who was in distress, everyone who was in debt, and everyone who was discontented gathered to him. Can you imagine David? Yeah, I'm king of Israel. Look at this. I just got through faking insanity, run and hid in a cave, and everyone that's distressed, everyone that's in debt, and everyone that's discontented about something started coming to the cave, and it says he became the captain over them. Many times we have fantasies about how things are going to happen. We dream about the great anointing that God has put on our lives. And we think about all that we're going to accomplish. And then we find ourselves still with drool hanging on our beards in a cave full of discontented, distressed, and in debt people. But why did they come to that cave? There was nothing about David that looked powerful. There was nothing about David that looked attractive. There was nothing about David at that point that would draw people to him. But I got to tell you something. There was something else in that cave besides a man. And that was an anointed word of Almighty God that dwelled in that cave, because the man that God had spoke to was in that cave. And God was, there was a pulling and a drawing. They came to the vision. They came to the anointing. They couldn't help but begin to gather there, because there was nothing else to help them. But all of a sudden, they begin to hear that the anointing is in the cave of Adullam. The word of God is in the cave of Adullam. And later we read about the amazing things that these men were able to do. See, they were not trained soldiers. They were not great warriors. They were people that had overspent. Their credit score was zero. They were being hunted because they were about to have to go into slavery to the ones that they owed money to. And so they were on the run to keep from having to become a slave. They were distressed and they were discontented. Have you seen any discontented people lately? Well, let me make it a little more personal. Are you discontented today? Are you distressed? Are you in debt? I ain't even gonna ask it. Everybody raise their hand on that one. Then I am gonna tell you that you are qualified to become a mighty man and woman of valor, because when you run to the presence of God, when you run to the anointing of God, when you run to the word of God, God changes the situation. And what you might have been, you'll never be again, because you have come to the anointing and the word of Almighty God. We read in Chronicles about the great things that a lot of these people did. I mean, they did supernatural things. They confronted members of leftover members and resurgence of what the Bible talks about as the Nephilim. They were strange creatures. They were large men. The reason Canaan had to be wiped out is because it was a perverted mixture of demonic powers being mixed with humanity and creating people and creatures that God did not ordain. When they went in, the spies went in, they come back out and they said, "We look like grasshoppers in their sight." What was they saying? There is people there that are so big that we felt like grasshoppers. Now, this isn't story rhymes. This is reality. See, a lot of our fictional things that we have today has a basis in something. It says that one of them, who was a Benaiah, went down and fought with two lion-like men. Now, that wasn't a misprint. That was the fact that there was two men that were a perverted combination of human and animal. Don't freak any of you out today. Lion-like men. We're coming into a day where they're beginning to this thing is going to start happening again. There is a mixing. There is a demonic mixture that has taken place in humanity. And they are driving, pushing, trying to bring this perversion of satanic mixture back into humanity because they desire to overthrow God. And they desire to do what God was planning on doing. The devil has had it in his heart to try to clone or whatever you want to call it, what God was going to do to save humanity. We read it where the angels that were cast out come and took women, and they produced great people, all kinds of powers. Where do you think we get all the thing? Where do you think the Greeks got their images and all these things that they've come out with? And we're living in a day where the minds of men are being changed and being perverted to try to chase after. They're playing it out on national television anymore. It's happening all over. They are pushing hard to go back to the worship of Baal. They are pushing hard for human sacrifice. We have had human sacrifice in this nation now since the 70s, where babies have been aborted. It is human sacrifice. It is not convenient. It is the human sacrifice, and Satanists have literally come forth and sued now, saying that it is our religious right to abort babies. It's human sacrifice. This thing's going on all over. I was watching a testimony yesterday of a young lady that escaped from trafficking. And since she was 4 years old, she had been trafficked. And she named off many of the great politicians that she was trafficked to. And Hollywood stars. And she said, "What you don't understand is they have built in California, they have built a network of tunnels to different places, and that's how they moved us. They moved us through these tunnels." There is a desire in humanity to pervert everything that God has said was good. We're heading toward a time where they're going to start, and they've already, a lot of this new medicine, these new vaccines they've come out with, is just beginning. They have a desire to begin to mate humanity and technology together. It's called transhumanism. They want to create the human body where they can literally start putting technology into that body and rearranging and building until they can create a whole new race of mechanical people. You say, Pastor, that is science fiction. Science fiction has its basis in reality somewhere in our history. David's mighty men confronted a lot of this, and God commissioned David and his army to go in and annihilate a lot of this perversion. They were not men of great stature. They were not men that had a great history. They were men and women that simply came and yielded to the word of God and yielded to the anointing that God had placed on David. And because of that, they became mighty men and women. They literally changed the whole course of history because they obeyed the word of God and went forward. David ended up with 400 men, and they were not trained, and yet he began to win wars and battles, and they began to see amazing things happen because they yielded to the anointing. I was listening to one of Reinhard Bonnke's, I believe Sister Val posted this. I was listening to one of Reinhard Bonnke's spiritual daughters. And she said something, I put some of it on Facebook yesterday, I believe it was, or the day before. She said, we do not need more of Holy Spirit. She said, in the church today, you hear constant altar calls, do you want more of God? And she said, we're always trying to get more of God, more of Holy Spirit. And she said, it goes back to the lie in the garden that was sold to Adam and Eve that you're not good enough in the state you're in. God's not enough for you. God's provision isn't enough for you. What God's give you isn't enough for you. And we got to have something else. She said, you don't need more of the Holy Spirit because Holy Spirit is complete. He is whole. What you need is more yielding to who He is and what He can do. We're not looking for Holy Spirit to get stronger in His church. We're looking for us to get weaker in His church where Holy Spirit is dominant in our lives. He will work in us to the degree that we can allow Him to work. Amen. I'm wanting to see an absolute manifestation of the fullness of who He is. Not what we can do, not even what He can do through us, who He is. Hallelujah. Who He is. When we read about Him, when we read about Holy Spirit in the book of Acts, we read about in Jesus talking about Holy Spirit. He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. That word another doesn't mean just another. It means I'm going to send you a comforter that's just like me. Hallelujah. One that is like character and power. That's why Jesus said, the works that I do, ye shall do. And greater works than these shall ye do. Because I go to the Father. And when I get to the Father, I'm going to send back the Holy Spirit that's just like me. And he's going to dwell inside of you. He will be with you and he shall be in you. Hallelujah. What can Holy Spirit do? Is there anything too hard for God? Is there any reason that Holy Spirit can't display who God is right here today? Is there a reason that in America, this ungodly, perverted agenda cannot be interrupted by an awesome outpouring of the Holy Spirit? There is no reason that it can't be. Matter of fact, when I started seeing what was going on in Asbury College, I said, oh God, spread it, spread it, spread it. Hallelujah, spread it. Young people coming alive, those that have been taught that God's not real. They've been indoctrinated in humanism and communism and wokeism, and all of a sudden they come in contact face to face with an almighty God, and they see the power of God, and they say, we don't want this other junk. We want God. I said out of my mouth when I read the first article on that, I said, God, when I see it in Berkeley, California, I'll know that it is taken over. If only some churches in between could catch it as well. Some of the hardest places for God to get, some of the places that Holy Spirit is most restricted, is in places where people gather supposedly to worship him. And yet they don't worship him. They worship their own desires and their own ways, and they don't want God to take over, because if God takes over, we won't get out in time. I actually had people call me and say, we want to come to your church. What time does it get over? I tell them that most of the time we're out by 4. Then if they tell me what they're looking for, I tell them, I say, I've got a church for you. I know right where you belong. And I give them directions to that church. We're not interested in having a little party on Sunday morning. We're ready. We're ready. We're ready for God to show up in all of his power and all of his glory, for our agendas to go out the window, and we simply begin to experience who he is and what he can do. Hallelujah. I don't want to have to try to get people saved. I want them running to God because they have an encounter with his presence. Hallelujah. Glory. I don't want to wrestle for hours with demons trying to cast them out. I want to see them run when they see the presence of God. Yeah. Glory. See, when Holy Spirit is able to be who he is, it doesn't take a lot to get people healed. Because the body comes in contact with the Creator, and the Creator simply recreates what needs to be recreated. Jesus did it when he walked this earth, and he said, these things shall you do, and greater things shall you do, because I go to the Father. He showed up in the presence of God. He went to the Father, and he put the blood on the mercy seat. He sat down in his position of authority, and the Holy Spirit did a high dive off of the throne right down to earth. They heard him coming. All of a sudden in the upper room, they start hearing a sound. Oh, we've been talking about sound all morning. Hallelujah. There's a sound to the presence of God. They heard him coming. Said, we heard a sound like a mighty rushing wind. Huh? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're wondering right now what in the world's going on and how'd I end up here, God's wanting to talk to you. He's wanting to get your attention. Hallelujah. We are hearing a sound. The fire that once consumed the sacrifice is now filling the sacrifice. In the book of Acts, I used to just consume. When I was younger, I used to just consume. I went back and started going through it again. Preached out it for years, but when I was young, I consumed the book of Acts. When God first called me to preach, I was traveling with a line contractor. We built cross-country lines, climbed poles, all that kind of stuff. It was rough work. And I worked with some really rough people. They lived on drugs 24 hours a day. I had to get them up, drag them to the vehicles in the morning. They would start popping pills and taking drugs so that they could function through the day, and I had to work with that. And there was a lot of injuries happened because of it. And then when they got off work, they would get even more involved with drugs and alcohol. And every day I shared the gospel with them. Every day I told them about Jesus. Every day I prayed for them. And at night when they would get drunk and on drugs, they tried everything there was. Acid. I mean, it was, they were talking about the zombie apocalypse. I saw it. I worked with it. And every night, when the alcohol and the drugs would take over their minds, for some reason, the only thing they could think of was kill the preacher. They would come looking for me. And we would go at it. I fought my way out of more scraps than you could imagine, because these people wasn't even in their right mind. They were demonic. They always outnumbered me, but they never overwhelmed me. You know why? Because every night I got in the book of Acts, and I saw that I had somebody inside of me that was bigger than all the rest of them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd come home sometimes and I'd have marks on me, black eyes, all kinds of stuff. And they'd say, a preacher shouldn't be fighting. I said, I haven't seen you where I've been. Don't sit in your nice, cozy little Christian field office and criticize those who are out there in the battle. Amen. I always prayed for them and took care of them after I beat the snot out of them. Amen. Come on, somebody. I'm not of the wimpy version of Christianity. Amen. And I've said for years that if I have to go as a martyr, if God wants me to do that, I'll go. But I'm not laying my head on the devil's chopping block. Amen. Come on, somebody. Come on. Don't get all self-righteous on me. I don't take criticism from anybody that don't have scars on their body and dirt on their hands from the labor. Amen. These guys would try to overwhelm me. They would attack me out of nowhere. Sometimes it'd be walking back. We stayed in these little ratty motels, sometimes these little ratty cabins, different places across the country, and I'd be walking back in the dark, walk uptown to get something to eat or something. I'd be walking back, and all of a sudden I'd see things. And next thing I know, I would be surrounded. And the fight was on. I could shuck and jive. I mean, you're talking about, I was like a whirlwind. It's one thing get me upset. It's another thing scare me. Don't ever scare me. You hear what I'm talking about? A scared person is dangerous. I'm telling you all that to tell you something. David's mighty men had a supernatural ability to stand in the face of immeasurable odds. And we as the children of God today have lost that somewhere to where we don't believe that God can get us through or help us stand in the face of immeasurable odds. He's the same God now as he was then. God can help you in so many ways. He has authority, he has power. I remember a day when these guys decided, there were six of them. And these were linemen. I mean, they worked hard every day. They were strong. They decided they was going to throw me in a pit full of water by a quarry. I mean, it's like a bottomless pit. And I had those big line boots on and all that kind of stuff. I would have sunk like a rock. They was going to throw me in there. Don't come and talk to me about I got to change jobs because I'm the only Christian on my job. You need to be thanking God that somebody, God's got somebody in there. Stop crying. Boy, am I getting rough today. I don't know who I'm talking to, but we as children of God have got to quit whining about the fact that somebody doesn't like us, somebody said something about me, somebody's talked about me, they didn't invite me to lunch. Come on, somebody. They didn't invite you because the demons inside of them don't like the God inside of you. But you need to keep showing up. Welcome to our seeker-sensitive church. Sorry. Come on, somebody. I remember these guys decided they was going to throw me in a pit. See, the devil always wants to get rid of the witness. Amen. And I told these guys every day, I'd read Bible verses to them. I'd I tell them that God can set you free from that. God can change your life. And I was like their mama. I had to get them up in the morning, had to get them in the trucks, had to take care of them. And then at night, they'd try to turn on mama. I remember this day, they decided they was going to throw me in this pit. Well, I wasn't going in no pit. You understand what I'm talking about? I didn't stand there with a little pious face, look on my face, saying, God, whatever you want. Ain't nobody going to throw me in a pit. Amen. I don't have a persecution complex. Amen. Matter of fact, I kind of demand respect as a child of God. Amen. I've told bosses I've worked for, I'd say, look, I've heard how you talk to the rest of these people. You won't talk to me like that. Amen. I've told people I work for, my bosses. I'd say, I will respect you. I will show respect. But I'm not asking you to respect me. I demand it. You will show me respect. They showed me respect. We got that out of the way. I don't know why I'm talking like this to you today. There's somebody here that needs to stop whining about the bad situation you're in and realize God has somebody there. It's you. Oh, God, send somebody. He did. These guys, man, I never intended to tell stuff like this. These guys all attacked me all at the same time, going to throw me in this. I mean, it was a quarry, and you couldn't see the bottom of this thing. And you can't swim with those big line boots on that's up to your knees. And I was maybe 5 or 6 feet from the edge of this pit. And they all come at me at one time, trying to pick me up. Now listen, at that time, I only weighed 170 pounds. I'm just a couple of pounds heavier than that now. Don't be trying to guess how much I weigh. And they all come at me at one time. Well, see, I'd been reading the Word of God where these guys did supernatural stuff, and there was a supernatural God that lived inside of me, and I believed I could do anything in the name of Jesus through his power. I mean, I had faith to be able to do anything. And when they grabbed hold of me, now listen to me, 6 big, strong linemen, they couldn't pick me up. They couldn't push me. They never budged me. 6 of them. I stood still. And I pushed against them, and 6 of them could not move me. They couldn't pick, they was trying to pick me up. Only weighed 170 pounds. One of them could have picked me up by themselves. But all 6 of them couldn't pick me up. They couldn't budge me. It was like I weighed 5,000 pounds. They couldn't budge me, couldn't move me. They never got me an inch closer to that pool, and they finally wore out and gave up. And there was another guy there that actually owned the quarry. And one reason they was going to throw me in the quarry is because he showed up with a bunch of beer, and we're supposed to be working. And I told them they wasn't going to be drinking beer, they was going to work. And they decided to throw me in the quarry. Amen. I know I caused a lot of my own problems, but and when they couldn't budge me, couldn't move me, couldn't do anything with me, because there was some big angels there that was hanging on to me. I had help. I had help. I had an army that was there to help me. Are you listening to me? We're not by ourselves. We're not weak and can't do anything. We are the children of the Most High God. We are filled with the power of God. We are full of the Holy Spirit. And we got servants called angels that are here to help us. And when it couldn't budge me, they finally wore out and quit. And the guy that owned the quarry said, you just think you're pretty tough, aren't you? I said, yes, I do. It was like I didn't see you in there, buddy. And as soon as he said that, all those guys that just tried to throw me in the quarry turned around and looked at him and said, you leave this man alone. And told him, said, don't you say another word to him. I mean, all of a sudden, the guys that just tried to throw me in the quarry are now protecting me and saying, you leave him alone. Why? Because they come up against something that they knew was not me. They knew the faith that I was talking about. They knew the Jesus that I was preaching. They knew the Holy Spirit that's inside of me was real because they just encountered something that they couldn't deal with. Are you listening to me? We are not by ourselves. There is a power that is working in us that is greater than the power of this world. You might not ever have to deal with things like that, and I hope you don't. But if you do, don't think that you're some kind of little weak pup that just gets kicked around. No. You're the servant and child of the Most High God. I've got some of you so stirred up you can't understand it. I just totally stressed out your idea of Christianity. Amen. What about turning the other cheek? I did several times. Oh my, I have dug myself in a hole this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Brother Daryl Tonstein just got back from Saudi Arabia and Dubai witnessing to people in a place where they behead people for that. But he went in there to share the gospel. And what he found was God had already been there before him. Had people set up to take care of him. Hallelujah. Thank God we don't travel by ourselves. Amen. We don't travel by ourselves. We serve the Most High God, and we're his children. In the book of Acts, and I'm closing. Wow. Y'all worshiped way too long. It's not 4 o'clock yet. I like that. In the book of Acts, I talked about it here a while back, where the apostles said, appoint 7 men that are of good reputation and full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom. Now, these men had never done anything. They really didn't have much of an example to go by because a lot of them hadn't really been around Jesus that much. The apostles had. They knew of him. They were being taught. Next thing you know, we hear about a man named Stephen that was full of faith and the Holy Spirit. They could not resist the wisdom in which he spoke. Where did that come from? Where did this guy named Stephen all of a sudden get the ability to stand up and preach such a powerful message that the demons around him were literally writhing in pain, gnashing at him with their teeth? But it says they could not resist the wisdom in which he spoke. Where'd that come from? He just simply yielded to what had been put inside of him. Philip went down to Samaria. We hadn't heard anything about Philip until he went down to Samaria. And somehow when Philip got down to Samaria, he just started preaching the gospel. That'd be the last thing most of us do if we got run out of our home and run away because of persecution. But Philip showed up down to Samaria and he just started preaching Jesus on the streets, and he started healing people. He started praying for people, started getting healed. Miracles began to happen. Demons started coming out when it'd say come out of the, and next thing you know, Philip is stirring up Samaria, and a great revival comes to Samaria because of one person. Where'd Philip get that? We have no history on Philip that says that he knew, he was trained in this stuff. The reason Philip was able to do that is because when he got down there, he had been baptized. He had received somebody into him that had the ability to preach the gospel, had the ability to heal the sick, had the ability to perform miracles, and had the ability to cast out devils. It wasn't Philip. It was the one he had received from God inside of him, and Philip simply yielded to that. Next thing you know, Holy Spirit says, okay, I want you to run down here in the desert. There's an Ethiopian eunuch down there, and I want you to go down and connect yourself to him. And he gets up and starts running along side of the chariot. Hallelujah. If I see some of y'all running down 65 beside a car, I'll know the Holy Ghost done got a hold of you. Running down there 70 mile an hour going. Roll the window down. Come on. Philip did it. And then Philip shared the gospel with the Ethiopian eunuch, and he said, here's water, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And because of that, Ethiopia was changed by the power of God. When that Ethiopian eunuch got back, he brought the gospel to Ethiopia and changed that nation. All because one person that had no repertoire of great revivals showed up, yielded. And then when he come up out of the water, he looked around, Philip was gone. Why? Because God needed him over in another place. And he was suddenly transported there. Now I said all that to say this. Took me an hour and a half to say this one thing. Philip experienced the omnipotence of God. Then he experienced the omniscience of God when God told him to go down, minister to the Ethiopian eunuch. And then he experienced the omnipresence of God. All of a sudden, he wasn't there anymore. He was in another place. Why? Because God was there, and God was there, and God was here. And many of us disqualify ourselves because we think that we need to have something else. You just need to yield to what you got. Now I'm going to read off the qualifications of what it takes to be a mighty man and woman of valor. Is there anyone distressed in this house? Is there anyone in debt in this house? Is there anybody discontented in this house? That's all it took for David to build a mighty army. And God's calling out to his people, and he's saying, I want you to leave that stuff behind. I want you to run to the anointing. I want you to run to the word, the promise. Stand with me if you would. Run to the word. Run to the word. Hallelujah. You know, God told me several years ago, and I believe it's going to take place. I believe it's going to happen. God told me several years ago that he's raising up people with such authority in their words. So yielded to Holy Spirit that the leaders of nations will tremble when they hear that they have arrived in their country. It's not who you are, where you came from, it's who is in you. Father, we pray for an infilling, overwhelming, empowering presence of God to fill us today, Lord God, to overflowing. And Lord, we yield to you today in Jesus' name. We yield to you today in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I want to ask today if there's someone in this house that you haven't given your life to Jesus, or you've known him but you've walked away. You're cold and indifferent toward God today. If that's you, I'm not going to ask people to close their eyes. I'm going to ask you to square your shoulders and step out of your seat and get up to this altar and give your life to Jesus today, because God is looking for people that he can use. He's looking for people that aren't ashamed of him. He's looking for people that have a real encounter with him today. If you need Jesus today, if you don't know him, or if you've walked away from him, you're cold in your spirit today, I want you to get out and come up here and get on your knees before him and say, God, I yield to you today. I want to serve you with all my heart. Hallelujah. Come on. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Lives need to be changed. We need to be changed. Hallelujah. Father, I pray today, Lord God, against the timidity that's in the body of Christ. Father, I pray, God, against the spirit of fear that holds us bound today, Father God. I pray, Father, for courage and strength to rise up in your people, Father God. Lord, that they can see, they can stand in your strength and your power and not shake in the presence of the enemy. But Lord God, know that they have more power. Lord, they are stronger than the enemy because you are in us. God, your strength is in us. Father, I thank you for deliverance taking place in the body of Christ today. The fear be gone in the name of Jesus. Be gone today. Hallelujah. Holy Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father.